CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, CliffCentral.com. We are live. It is Friday. Everybody's getting ready for another weekend under lockdown. I don't know if that means more or less excitement for most of us. But if you're sick of it, you're not alone. I'm over this lockdown. That's all I'm telling people when they ask me how it's going. So if you're feeling the same way, I totally understand it. All right. Good morning. And let's get cracking. We've got things to talk about, people to see, places to go. Another busy day. All right. First things first. Let's talk quickly about something that Leanne brought up on another discussion. There's a test doing the rounds on Twitter that tells if you're a good or bad person. How does this test?
Yes, have you seen it?
How does this test work? I mean, I don't care about Twitter, but I think this might be useful and interesting to people, especially if you want to enter a beauty pageant and you need to know whether you're a shithead or not first.
Well, the problem is I don't think you care about whether you're a good person or a bad person either.
I don't think I'm a bad person. Like, I don't go around hurting people.
I didn't say that.
I mean, what's your definition of a bad person? Let's start there. Maybe we should turn to our philosophy professor and Mbulelo.
So the whole theory about whether you're a good person or a bad person is if you will what the law says. Let's say there's no law barring you from doing a certain thing. That's good.
Okay.
Okay, so let me get to the point. In this case, it's, you know, if you go shopping, you empty your trolley into your boot.
Yeah.
Well, you empty your trolley into your boot. What do you do with the trolley afterwards?
If it's close enough, I'll just take it back to where I found it. Whoa, hang on. Leanne, you've broken up. Yeah, we don't know where you are. Just come back with that. What did you say?
I mean, you unload your
Leanne, we're struggling to hear you. Earth to Leanne Moll. Say that again.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do with your shopping trolley?
So there's no law saying you have to put your trolley back into the bay, right?
Yeah.
Yet, will you still do it, even though you're not legally bound to do so?
There are three things that can happen. Can I go into the options?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Option one, you take it back yourself and you put it away, which is mostly what I do. Number two, mm-hmm. there's a security guard in the car park or a car guard, and he or she will take it away for you, and you have to tip them. And number three is you just leave it wherever the hell you parked.
Yeah. So I think in South Africa it's a bit different because we have car guards who will take the trolley for us.
Yeah.
In most countries, you have to do it yourself. But it's the ultimate test because – no one will punish you for not returning the shopping cart. No one will kill you. You won't go to jail. You also gain nothing by returning the shopping cart.
No.
You just do it out of the goodness of your own heart.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, some of these shopping malls, to be clear, some of them even employ someone to go around the parking lot gathering trolleys. That's their job. So I'm not making excuses for lazy people who just leave their trolleys lying around, but I don't know that it's a really good test of whether you're a good person or not. But is Twitter using this as the basis of determining whether you're nice or you're shit?
Yeah, it's kind of doing the rounds on Twitter, so I don't – it's not – yeah. I think it's a pretty good determination.
What do you do?
I return it.
Sia, what do you do?
Depending on how I'm feeling and the time of the day.
Okay, so Sia basically.
So in other words, you're an inconsistently good person.
Yeah. If that's what it means, I'll own it. There's sometimes when I'm like, ugh, it's like 6:30 in the evening. I know that the shopping center will be closing up. So yeah, I can just leave the shopping center next to the car.
I thought of something. I don't actually do any of those things.
What do you do?
Do you steal the trolley?
No, I use the trolley in the shop. And then on my way out of the shop, I put the trolley back with the other trolleys, and then I just carry the packets. I never have that. I never have that many bags. I don't shop that often. And
I'm in the same position, but there are one or two times where I'll have like 14 crates of wine.
Oh,
you mean which is coming soon, 1st of June.
That's what you hope. All right. You're excited about that. Oh, my God.
And my surname is, it starts with an M.
What does that mean?
I need to go first.
Oh, yeah. Good luck to you. You know what those shops are going to be like on the 1st of June if they do open up liquor?
I don't care. I'll be wearing a sleeping bag with a mattress sewn onto my back.
You'll look like a homeless person. You'll be outside the liquor store.
And no shame.
Not joking.
People will drive past and point at you and go, ah, it's finally happened. Leanne Moll's given up on life. Look, she's homeless outside a liquor store.
And I'll go, woo!
I can actually see you do that.
I can. All right. But how's that? Does that mean I'm a good person or a bad person, or I'm neutral?
I think you're inherently a good person. Sia, on the other hand, if you phone him in the middle of the night and you need a lift home from somewhere, he may or may not respond depending on how he feels.
What do you do, Mbolelo?
I do what you do.
Mm.
I'm not a mum of five.
Yeah, but let's say you have a big trolley with a lawnmower in it.
A lawnmower? Oh, Jesus.
I would take it back. I usually take it back.
But you see, most people, I think, are a little inconsistent. Like, if it's close enough, they'll take it back. If it's too far and they're at the other end of the parking lot, they're like, eh.
Yeah, if you want to take it seriously, there is an ethical dilemma.
And then there's the other end of the scale.
Yeah.
If you leave it behind someone's car.
Oh, that's vicious.
No.
So this is what Immanuel Kant might call consequentialism, and that's in what Leanne's saying.
No, his name is Immanuel Kant. He's German, so it's K-A-N-T, Kant.
Yes, but if I say it like that, then people
it's actually laugh and Kant.
People like Sia forget about who he was and what he wants to tell you, and they just focus on the name.
I want to study him.
Immanuel Kant was a real pissant. He was very rarely stable. High digger was a boozy beggar who could drink you under the table. David Hume could outconsume Friedrich Hegel. And René Descartes was a drunken fart. Yes, nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach about the raising of the wrist. Socrates himself was permanently pissed.
Python, right?
Yeah, that's Monty Python. That's the philosopher's song.
It is the philosopher's song, period.
They start that song with Immanuel Kant. Okay, so tell us what he said.
She's worried about the consequences of what happens, and that's consequentialism, right?
Uh-huh.
So Sia tends to be a virtue, what you might call a virtue. He's more worried about the virtue of what's going on.
Maybe also because if someone's watching, then you'll return the car.
So those are your virtue in the virtue ethics, what we call virtue. And then you get the more pragmatic people. There's pragmatic ethics to it, where you weigh up cost and
that's the least harm principle, right?
And the least harm to me. But the Kantian position is you should always do the right thing all the time.
I'm incontinent.
Is that the idea that you're a good person only when you do good things and no one's looking?
And all the time.
So they're basically four positions you can occupy. You can only be in one of those four.
Well, three. And he always argued for – so he was anti the virtue and consequentialist notion is you should always do the right thing all the time. And it's quite brutal. Always right and wrong is what Kant says. Always, in everything.
Okay. I don't know. There's some situations where it doesn't feel like anything's wrong or right. This is very philosophical for a Friday. And it all started with what you do with a fucking shopping trolley.
Well, remember, he gave us the deontological test, the most famous one.
The trolley problem, yeah. And that is a trolley. That's a trolley, though, on a track.
Exactly.
You know what the trolley problem is, Leanne and Sia and everybody else.
Oh, yes.
That's where you've got people strapped to the rails, and then there's a trolley heading for them, and it will kill them. You've got three people on one track and one person on the other, and you have the opportunity to either switch it and be responsible for the death of one person, or to leave it and by your inaction be responsible for the death of three.
And that's called a deontological dilemma, by the way.
Okay. See? That's our philosophy lesson with Mbolelo this morning. I knew it was coming.
Oh, no. I just call it a Kaylee and a Nelly.
A what? A Kaylee and a Nelly?
a Kelly and a Nelly. Oh. An ode to Kelly Rowland and Nelly the Rapper for their hit song Dilemma.
Oh, okay, because I thought you were referring to Kelly and Anele, which is a whole other thing. And this links to Jack, who we'll be speaking to at 7:30. Apparently, Anele posted some picture of Kelly Rowland a while ago. And tell me what happened.
This is actually, well, the first iteration of it was towards the end of last year when Anela tweeted something along the lines of Kelly Rowland doesn't look good without makeup. And it all went to another level when Kelly Rowland got wind of this, called her Pumbaa, and so, which meant the American Black Twitter also climbed onto Anele and climbed onto
but
the
hang
situation.
On, hang on. So Kelly Rowland actually responded to Anele.
And then it also recently fired up again when Kelly Rowland, I think she turned 37 or 38 a few weeks ago, posted a bikini shot of herself and she looks absolutely stunning. And then once again, her army was going at Anele, going, hey, where's Pumbaa now?
Because Anele has not lost any weight.
I'm just retelling the story. I'm not. No,
I mean, you've got to, you know, this is where I say things about ugly people, but I admit right up front, like, I'm ugly compared to models and, you know, people who appear in fashion catalogs and on the runways and the catwalks of the
world.
Or
just normal people.
No, I look like shit compared to the models. I look okay compared to normal people. I'm ugly as well, but I'm by no means an oil painting. If you look like, you know, with all the love in the world, and I mean, you know, I know Anele well, but if you look like her and you're going to like point fingers at how Kelly Rowland looks, you're asking for pain.
Yeah, be who you can afford to be. Kelly Rowland's beautiful. Yeah, like, come on.
Does it not have something to do with her undying support of Beyonce?
No, it does. It's this weird religious devotion to Beyonce.
You wouldn't know about that, Sia.
Sia, I found a clip yesterday of a real diva, a hero, someone who I love and admire, who said that Beyonce is not an icon. Do you want to know who it is? Dionne Warwick. All right, Dionne Warwick.
Are we going to listen to Dionne?
Yes, we are. She's a fantastic singer, and she's been around for a thousand. She's been
clairvoyant.
She's been around 1,000 years. Dionne Warwick is a better singer than Beyonce will ever be, and she's Whitney Houston's cousin. She's Sissy Houston's niece.
Dionne Warwick, who performs in sweatpants.
She's old, man. You know how old she is. Wait and see till they wheel Beyonce out at like age 95, which they will do, and she'll be
wheel
much
out.
Worse than
Dionne. She'll be sashaying out in a bedazzled wheelchair.
If Dionne Warwick says, and she's got real divas, and she's worked with amazing people, she's got credentials.
Dionne Warwick.
Yes.
Do you remember those crushed velvet sweatsuits that
she wears
popular in 2001? She still wears them in 2020. Are we... Seriously, then we might as well take Vernon Cukumore seriously as well.
Yo, don't you dare compare Dionne to Cukumore, whatever his name is.
Let's bring him back up in the news.
All right, I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have a fight with you now, Sia, but we'll pick this up one day.
Really? Since we're all not in the studio together, I can't huff and puff, but I'll just dramatically end the call.
Yeah. Yes. Just end the call.
Goodbye.
You know, I miss that about not being in the studio, that I can cut people off.
I miss not being able to slam down a phone.
Yes. I mean, you can't do that with a cell phone. In the old days, you used to be able to slam down the phone in a temper, right? Now you have to...
And you could hear it.
Yeah, now you throw your phone and it ends up costing you $5,000. Not worth it.
I can't have dramatic silences or like my stare isn't exactly powerful because people just think, is he frozen?
Yeah. So everybody's saying, including Leanne, that they're excited about the 1st of June, but we don't know for sure that they're going to move to level 3. We don't know
that for sure.
I mean, they haven't spoken to us since what, Wednesday, not last week, but not this week, but the week before. And there was this vague promise that certain places may go to level 3. I don't know why. That's
just a tiny bit of positivity that I'm just going to hang on to.
But anyway, so it's not just you. Candace has just sent a message to me, 0797482090. She says, the whole of South Africa will be drunk before 10 a.m. on the 1st of June, and it is a Monday.
Yeah, no work that day.
Leanne, are those birds outside your window or Sia's? I hear birds tweeting.
No, they're mine.
Oh, how nice. Your cats must be so
happy. It's my backdrop. The birds are dumb enough.
Michelle says that she even puts the basket trolley back when she's in the store. How's that? So she must be a really good person.
Wow.
There's Michelle proving that she's more virtuous than us. Michelle. And here's a Twitter poll. Do you log onto your Twitter account? Then you are a shitty person. That's according to Lucio. KC says, good morning, guys. Gareth, stop blowing smoke up your ass. I am a heterosexual male and you're not ugly at all. For example, just look at Mbulelo. Yarr, no wonder he is single. As far as Anele is concerned, I wouldn't even be able to get hard for her. I'm not trying to be body shaming, but she's fugly. Oh, that's mean, KC. So Casey would have me, but not Anele. That's bizarre. It's funny how all Beyonce fans are tone deaf as fuck. That's what that comes from Leighton.
Wow.
Sorry, but I agree. Sorry, Sia.
I am the hit artist behind the cultural phenomenon song It's You.
Let's move on.
Are you calling me tone deaf?
Pabalo says, yeah, we must play your song again at some point. Your song is terrible. If your song is a tribute to Beyonce, then even she's going to want to abandon you as a fan. Pabalo says this morning, I'm in the UK at Waitrose. You can get £1 for returning a trolley back to the trolley bay. Now that's clever. You incentivize people to do the right thing. Yeah.
But they aren't really being nice people. They're just people who want to make money.
Brigitte wants to know, Mbulelo, how was your anal probing? Was it awkward, especially since they didn't find anything? Do they apologize? Do they offer you a cigarette or anything? This is Mbulelo admitted earlier this morning that he was body cavity searched in the Ukraine once when he was traveling there. And now Brigitte wants to know more about your anal probing. Do you want to give her some more details?
So, Brigitte, I just want to say it's it's nowhere near the hairiest experience I've ever had on a border.
What, you've had worse?
But it was the hairiest experience for them.
Good one, Leanne.
Very good. Yeah, I traveled South America for 6 months. That was scary, everyone. But anyway, no, it wasn't that awkward. And the Eastern Europeans are different. There's no personal feeling. Just get out of here.
Stranger putting their finger up your bum wasn't awkward.
Hey, don't most Eastern European men and women become porn stars? They don't care about stuff like that. Most of them have been body cavity searched as just a rite of passage in their 20s, right? Jeremy says, in response to Michelle, who messaged us earlier and said that she even puts the basket trolley back when she's shopping. So Jeremy says, Michelle also calls the cops for lockdown breakers. So now we've got people in the audience turning on each other. This is great.
Wow.
All right. And then this is another good person by Leanne's test anyway. Cabello says, I push the trolley all the way to my house. Then the trolley guards come and get it. The mall is just a kilometer from my house. Nice job, Cabello. All right, Cabello is a bad person by your test.
I'm not condoning that.
All right, anything you want to throw in before we get to Jack? Any news that's bothering you that's on your mind?
Well, this doesn't bother me. I'm actually in awe of it. Mm-hmm. There was a nursing sister in Russia in the male COVID ward.
Mm-hmm.
And she was wearing a bikini underneath her plastic see-through coverall.
Nice.
And they're just photographs of these old men leering.
Oh, that's great.
And enjoying their last few good glances. So yeah, she's being disciplined.
If you're going to die of the COVID, wouldn't you want your nurse to be in a sexy bikini under her see-through, transparent COVID protection gown?
100%.
And her excuse was she didn't realize how see-through the gown was, and she was hot. But she was hot.
Yeah, she's hot. You sent me a picture. Yeah. Now, a friend of mine who is a chiropractor in the UK, he's also allowed to see patients now. And he's wearing one of these coverall things that, you know, that goes around your feet and your hands and everything. And I said to him, why don't you surprise one of your older female patients by not wearing anything underneath?
Yes.
I mean, it would make her day, right?
Absolutely.
Say it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, say it again. All right. Now, I'm excited about this because I've known this guy all his life, and therefore we don't have to get into the pleasantries and talk a whole lot of bullshit to each other. Jack Lotter is one of the people I like to refer to when it comes to anything to do with fitness. He's an expert in the field. He has built a business which is, I would say, it's probably got the best reputation, certainly in circles among fitness professionals in South Africa. He says a lot of really outrageous things on social media, which is one of the reasons I love him. But he knows his stuff. And
that's a lot of fitness.
He's trained some of the best looking athletes in the world. And obviously these people are super fit. He's won all kinds of awards, you know, the different pro cards that you get in different categories of fitness all over the world. And he's won them himself. His wife is also a fitness professional, and they train other people, and a lot of his athletes have won too. So he really knows his stuff. His results speak for themselves. But I wanted to have him on this morning because we're all stuck in lockdown, and some of us are not keeping up with making sure that we're healthy and in shape. Some of us are doing a really good job of it, but it's damn difficult because you don't have the equipment that you need. I mean, I'm sitting here at home. I've got two 12-kilogram kettlebells and a goddamn sofa to do my exercise on. But I'm trying. I'm doing it every day. I thought we'd get Jack on to talk to us, first of all, about fitness, and then there are a bunch of other things to talk about too. So, morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself, Gareth. Thanks very much for having me on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. All right, so this home gym, this home gym stuff it's bullshit, right? It's really hard.
Well, look, it's less than ideal. You can never mistake gym equipment and makeshift training paraphernalia with millions of rands worth of equipment at a gym facility. But unfortunately, beggars can't be choosers, so we have to make do with what we have.
Yeah, so how are people coping? Because you obviously train a bunch of people, and you have a huge network in your business of fitness professionals that you deal with. You have to advise them on everything from what they eat to how much water to drink to how much exercise you should and shouldn't do, what kinds of exercise to do. And if anyone follows you on social media, they'll see that you're knee deep in this stuff every single day. What kind of feedback are you getting from people in lockdown? Are they deteriorating rapidly?
Look, Gareth, I think it's difficult. As a coach and a personal trainer, all of our clients look to us to be these sort of proverbial bastions of strength and perpetual inspiration. We too also going through the lockdown. When I say we too, us coaches and fitness professionals. So we also being adversely affected. We also have bills to pay. It's quite difficult. But, I mean, I train quite a lot of my services are a little bit more expensive than your average run-of-the-mill PT, and my clientele are a lot more affluent. You know, seeing how they're being affected, it's quite scary. Everyone's sort of coping with it in their own sort of unique way. Some people are doing really well. You know, for example, I coach your brother. He's doing exceptionally well. He's using this as an opportunity to double down and train hard and never miss his meals.
Yeah, but he's got like a garage which is mostly empty, and he's got equipment. Like the guy has, I went and saw him the other day. He's got like a whole bunch of weights in there, and he's stocked up. I don't have any of that stuff. Most of us have to use our body weight, which in some cases is substantial. Is there any really general advice you can give people if they just feel stuck or bored to just try and make it a little more exciting so they can do something, move around a bit?
Look, it's difficult. You know, the first thing I've done, even if my clients haven't got a huge amount of cardio on their plans, is I try and get them out, even if it is within the ridiculous exercise curfew window, because I think going out there and expanding your mind and sort of thinking about where you are and what's going on in your life and getting the heart rate up commensurately, I think is very, very important. Just to sort of dust off the cobwebs and the cabin fever and the like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything is better than nothing. I've got clients training with water bottles on broomsticks. I've got clients doing bodyweight exercises. Yeah. I'm inventing the most peculiar movements on the fly to try and keep my clients as motivated as possible. Yeah, and I'm actually a lot harder on my clients now because seeing as they're all grounded at home, there's far less room for error and there's far less excuses as to how life can sidetrack them and miss their training sessions and not prep their food in advance.
Well, I mean, you mentioned how hard you are on your clients. This is one of the reasons that they love you and they come to you because you really just do not let up. I mean, I've heard you talk to some of your clients before and you are merciless in getting them to do what they need to do because sometimes people don't have motivation, self-motivation, right?
Yeah, look, I coach my clients the way that I want to be coached. And, you know, that's a multifaceted approach. Sometimes I'm a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes I'm a hand to help my clients up. But more often than not, we need a foot to kick our asses into gear. You know, you can't sort of sit there and proverbially run your fingers through your client's hair and say everything's going to be all right nurture their feelings of mental resignation. You've got to sit there. You've got to be more often than not. Unfortunately, you can't be a yes man. So the term love, I think, is a very strong term. I think my clients have a healthy respect for me, but more often than not, when they're getting their diet uploads and they're getting their training edification from me, there's quite a lot of sort of subconscious contempt.
Well, that's usually a good sign. All right. So, Jack, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is not just to talk about home gyms and fitness, but there's a lot of crap out there on the internet. And you're very forthright. You don't mince your words. You say what you think about all kinds of things, the political, the world of kind of body positivity and health. Now, this is something that you and I agree on, and I'm sure that there are lots of people who agree on this. Adele, who was a big, fat monstrosity. She had a head that was as wide as a bookcase.
Oh, my God.
Once upon a time.
No.
This gets better. This is a good story. It has a happy ending. Adele decided, after years of being a behemoth, she decided to go and work on herself. She stopped eating everything in sight, shoveling it in, and she started to eat properly, and she trained, and she's in shape. And my God, does Adele look great. But you would think the internet would say, amazing. Adele, you look fantastic. What did the internet do? There were people on there, angry people, who said that Adele has abandoned the fat people and that actually she's the one who now has an eating condition because she's anorexic. Oh, how do we deal with this?
With as much clapback as possible, you've got to sidestep the PC issues. And I agree that in Hollywood in particular, eating disorders abound, both those that eat too much and those that eat too little. And I think that both of them need to be condemned equally. It's difficult. We can speculate and say Adele's lost her weight because of an eating disorder or this and that. But, you know, she looks happy.
She's not dying of COVID and morbid obesity is one of the comorbidities in this case that can kill you. So she wouldn't have survived COVID necessarily if she was still hulking around at 350 kilograms.
Look, at face value, people, you know, there's nothing wrong with a combi. A combi has a lot of application. It's a very useful. By and large, you know, someone's not going to look at a Ferrari with the same passion and reveration someone's not going to look at a combi with the same passion and reveration as they would for a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. That's just human nature. You know, you're not going to see a combi on the cover of, exotics, the exotic car magazine, and that's fine. It's a combi has application and a Ferrari has application, and there's nothing wrong with basically highlighting the fact that Adele is noticeably more attractive than she was physically speaking. I'm not saying that there aren't people that don't find larger people and partners attractive. They are, but by and large, people find that look and her look.
Yeah. This is not, this, by the way, this is not how Jack talks on social media. He's much more adamant. Let's use that word. Okay. So Jack, let's just take this to another person in Hollywood who I think is irritating you at the moment, because I read this on your Facebook, I think it was. Robert Pattinson has been cast as the new Batman. And what did he say? Because Robert Pattinson's famous from the Twilight movies for playing a very pale, very thin vampire who doesn't even do vampire things.
Yeah, a very pale, very anemic vampire, which is quite ironic. And I've actually got the quote here. It says, I think if you're working out all the time, you're part of the problem. Pattinson recently told GQ, despite being handed a strict fitness regime, you set a precedent. No one was doing this in the 1970s. And in my favorite part, referencing his experience working on the Twilight movies, the actor added, the one time they told me to take my shirt off, I think they told me to put it back on again.
All right, so what's wrong with this? Let's unpack this a little bit to help people who don't understand why you'd be cross.
If you look like an emaciated 12-year-old meth addict with kwashiorkor, the producers are going to tell you to put your shirt back on. If you're actually investing in your fitness ambitions and your training and you have some form of muscularity, chances are they're going to tell you to keep your shirt off.
Yes, so it would be good. And one of the reasons people might want to go to see Batman is because he doesn't look like an anemic 12-year-old suffering from kwashiorkor disease, right?
Correct. You know, Batman doesn't have superpowers, Gareth. He has to rely on his, you know, he has to push himself to the absolute maximum threshold of his humanity to keep up with Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and so on and so forth. And everyone is expecting this sort of brutish Hulk of a character as he has always been known. You know, everyone, all the previous actors that donned the role, Christian Bale, Ben Affleck, had very brutal fitness and strength training regimes to bulk up for that role and for in those capacities. And I think it's, you know, there was this huge controversy casting this sort of glittery vampire as the new Batman. And there was massive sort of expectation, and everyone's expecting him to fulfill it. And then he goes and makes a comment like that. And if you actually search Robert Pattinson Batman, this is the third article from the top of the Google search list, which is very disconcerting. I'm sure that Warner Brothers and the producers were exceptionally thrilled with Robert for dropping that absolute gem.
Okay, so we're going to have a thin, weedy Batman, and we're going to have a beautiful, hot Adele as opposed to the Hulk. So basically, everything's upside down.
Yeah, it's less than ideal.
No.
I'm unapologetic in saying I'm most probably going to be giving the Batman movie a wide, wide girth when it comes out.
All right, so lockdown has also brought us into close proximity, closer than most people are used to. With those around us, I believe you've got some irritating neighbors that you just want to vent about, and this is one of the reasons we have the show. We all vent every day, so you go ahead. What's wrong with your neighbors?
Well, look, my neighbors, I think everyone's going through cabin fever. Everyone's in close proximity, but my neighbors in particular take great pride and joy in ensuring that all windows and all doors are open at all times so that I can join them in their children's cries of excitement every 10 seconds, all day, every day. When I say cries of excitement, it's not a child that's crying or being beaten or abused. It's a child that's screaming with extreme elation and joy. And I would rather listen to a dying emphysema patient cough a yellowing throat oyster through Nutella every 10 seconds then have to endure this any longer. A friend of mine is actually moving out of his complex. He can't stand his neighbors during this lockdown. He's convinced that there's going to be a homicide or two if he remains.
All right. Have you done anything to try and convince them that you hate them and that they should keep their children under control?
Subtle things, Gareth. Like I changed my Wi-Fi name to Shut Up Cunts. I'm not entirely sure whether that's going to move the needle. And then I did more subtle things, like I hung a teddy bear outside my front door in a noose.
Okay, and they're not getting the message.
Not yet. No, unfortunately not. Yeah. I'm going to have to take more drastic measures if this escalates.
All right, this is fantastic.
What are those Mexican things called that you hit with a
piñata?
Piñata.
Yeah. Maybe a piñata filled with anthrax.
Well, yes, I have the idea of using the child as a human piñata has cropped my mind.
All right, so what's the first thing you're going to do after you get out of lockdown? I mean, are you able to actually train people in person after level 3? When are you allowed to do that?
That's a good question, Gareth. I'm not entirely sure, and it's purely speculative at this point to see what's going to happen with the lockdown restrictions and gym and training and things like that. Given the fact that I haven't seen human beings for so long, the first thing I'm going to do is go and see as many of my friends as possible and kiss them intimately with tongue.
Yes.
The fact that I've missed human contact so much, and I've actually just missed the embrace of human beings. Now, obviously, that's a tongue-in-cheek comment. It will depend on the lockdown restrictions and the severity of where we are, but I do just miss the simple things, Gareth. I just like to go fishing, sit around a campfire over a beer and just chat to my friends. I really miss that proximity.
All right. And you're missing fishing?
Missing fishing substantially, yes. But what lockdown has done is, everyone's training. I mean, the Zoom has sort of taken over the business meeting world and things like that. And I'm training a lot of my clients remotely, which is fantastic. Historically, I train a lot of online clients, and that's quite a faceless, impersonal thing. Clients log onto an app. There's a training program. On their training program are exercise videos of myself personally performing these movements. But now with Zoom, I've been training a lot of my local clients who I would usually see on a one-on-one basis, and now I'm training a lot of my clients internationally. And there are a lot of positives that have come from this, and a lot of things that I'll continue to include in my exercise training repertoire with my clients going forward. If a client can only afford to see me twice a day, I might only end up seeing them a third or a fourth time via Zoom or something like that in the comfort of their own homes. So there are some pros that have materialized from this pandemic.
Have you had any really exciting fights with people on social media lately?
Yes, Gareth. Unfortunately, the South African industry.
This is what you do. This is part of your repertoire. It's good. It's interesting to watch from a distance.
Yeah, the South African fitness industry unfortunately attracts the lowest of the low in terms of their intellectual capacities. And unfortunately,
I wanted to at this point just say how impressed I am that you're very intellectual and well spoken.
You don't know him.
Yeah, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors. But yeah, the South African fitness industry, unfortunately, you've got a huge sort of horde of people that are gravitating towards one another, and they all base themselves purely on how they look. They base their sense of self-worth on how they look, and that's a massive recipe for disaster. Mm. So I spend the vast portion of my day calling out a lot of these pseudo-intellectuals and their ridiculous detox diets and the way they morph their pictures and nonsense advice. And you know, there'll be a picture of one of them sitting on their coffee table, literally with their anus agape in the Instagram picture, commensurate with a Bible quote and a little plagiarized caption of how to seize the day and be a bastion of inspiration. And the hypocrisy drives me up the wall.
Nothing worse than an agape anus on a coffee.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
But you know what? It's cancelled out by, you know, a quote from Leviticus or something along those lines. It makes it completely appropriate.
All right, Jack.
Okay, I've done my abs for today.
What about – yeah, please. You need to work a lot harder if you want to impress Jack. Okay, so what should we not be eating? Because some people think that lockdown means you have to be at your fridge door slavering at the chops all the time.
Look, there's no food source. Contrary to popular belief, you know, you could actually get thin eating nothing but KFC all day, every day. The most important thing is obviously a calories in, calories out basis. So the best advice, the best broad brushstroke advice I could give you guys and the followers would be download an app, something like MyFitnessPal. enter your stats and your fitness, your personal, your aspirations and your goals, and monitor the calories that go into your mouth. If it says to you,
I did that, but there was, I ended up only having enough calories for wine and none for food.
That's that tends to be a problem. I mean, look, theoretically, you could still lose weight drinking
wine.
Shaking,
sweating, and lifting weights.
It's not going to be the most healthy and well-rounded approach, but it can definitely work. Yeah, Gareth, and just track your calories and just be mindful of that. And you can, you know, if you're supposed to eat 2,000 calories a day, you can be quite creative and say, right, well, I'll only eat 1,700 for 5 days. And on the sixth day, I'll have a 1,500 calorie cheat meal or a pizza or something along those lines. And then your calories will sort of more or less equate over that 6 day basis. That's a far better sort of well-rounded approach in lieu of obviously having a strict diet protocol and things like that. And that's the best advice I can give you is just monitor what goes into your mouth. That's the most important thing. And the app helps you do that and helps keep you accountable. And if you supersede that, then you can stand in front of the mirror naked and shout at yourself incessantly in the evenings. That tends to help me quite a bit.
How is your poor wife handling you during lockdown?
Yeah, oh, look, she's good. She's very proactive, which is great. She's also a personal trainer, so she's got back-to-back Zoom calls. She's a sponsored athlete, so she does a lot of work on Instagram for her sponsors NutriCon, so she doesn't have as much time to sort of just sit and dwell on the fact that she's stuck with me and has been stuck with me for the last 6 weeks and for potentially more weeks to come.
And the rest of her life.
Yes.
What a happy situation.
Jack, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you, you know, I have a few, I don't train like you do, but people often confuse training for performance and training for lifestyle. I wonder how you kind of express that to people because, you know, people who think I can just come and train for performance often give up.
That's exactly the reason why I feel demotivated because I never know which one to do.
Me too, Leanne.
Maybe you can address that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, you've got to, you know, people buy people before they buy products and services. The same thing goes for your lawyer. The same thing goes for your doctor, your surgeon, your physiotherapist, and your trainer. You know, my training philosophy is not a one-size-fits-all. I work with very A-type personalities. And although I train a lot of the high-end athletes, I've trained South Africa's best bodybuilders. I've trained South Africa's top-ranked female tennis player. I've trained cage fighters. By and large, the vast portion of the clients that can afford my annuity on a monthly basis are lawyers, surgeons, businessmen, businesswomen, and some of them have absolutely no desire to compete in a ring or on a stage or anything like that. But by virtue of their A-type personalities, they like the structure. They
love to post pictures of themselves splay-legged with a Leviticus quote. Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Your brother sends me some intimate pictures of his progress, but that's personal. You know, that's not on social media. You know, my general sort of bedside manner most definitely won't.
Your bedside manner.
My bedside manner most definitely won't appeal to the vast portion of people looking for an exercise regime. I tend to work with people that are very, very self-motivated. And the biggest issues I have with some of my clients are telling them to sort of to pull back. You know, I've got a client that trained twice a day, 6 days a week. I'm saying, listen, you need to have this cheat meal on this day, not because of any other reason, that it serves a physiological purpose and it's very important. And you training too much. In lieu of training 6 days a week, let's train four. Let's train smarter, not necessarily harder. And it's not that just because someone wants to buy a Ferrari doesn't necessarily mean that they want to take it to the track. And I think that applies to a lot of people that train with me. They want to have a high end because they want to really dot the I's. They want to put their foot on the throttle a little bit more than your average run of the mill PT at a local and commercial facility. There are some fantastic lifestyle coaches out there, and you know, just to like I started with, you know, people buy people. You've got to go out there and you've got to shop around. A lot of, you know, at the moment, particularly coaches offering free one-on-one, free. Go out there, have a couple of sessions, see what's out there.
Do some research
shopping on social media. That's it, and then find someone who who feel, you know, you can derive them, vice versa. I've got to a stage in my business where I've got other forms of annuity, so I'm very lucky to cherry pick my own clients. I work with people that I want to, not that I have to. And that's not just performance athletes. You know, someone will send in a motivation. It might be someone that's really obese, 120, 130 kilograms, but their message really resonates with me. And they tell me how much they want it and how badly they want to change themselves and fix their health markers. Or, you know, some of them just want to be able to run in the garden and play with their kids. And these people.
No, I've never met a person who's obese. I've never met an obese person who wants to run in the garden. You're lying.
It's a true story, yes. And the funny thing is that the vast proportion of these people that have lost 60, 70, 80 kilograms that I've worked with in the last 10 years completely resonate with what you were saying. They agree. They'll laugh at your jokes. And they're the first people to condemn other people that are just living these very sort of mediocre, sedentary, obese lives and not doing anything about it.
All right. Well, you can find out more by going to sherifftraining.co.za, and you can also follow Jack on social media. Just prepare yourself. Just make sure you're sitting down. And
yeah, it's not as PC as we've been today, that's for sure.
No, it's quite violent and aggressive in some places and very sweet and charming in others. But go and have a look. And Jack, thanks for the advice. I think there are a lot of us who are feeling like we need to do something, but we're not sure what. And you know what? Sometimes you've got to seek out the help of professionals.
I really appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me on. If there's one little tidbit of wisdom I can sort of impart everyone with, is to try and supplement with your vitamin D. There's a big correlation between mortality rates in general, not just during this pandemic, between very low vitamin D deficiency and mortality rates. So up your vitamin D. The exercise window really doesn't help us. You know, obviously you're not going to get that much vitamin D in between 6 and 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And by and large, black South Africans suffer a lot more with vitamin D deficiency than their white counterparts. It's all the more reason to try and get as much as you possibly can in supplemental form. And to, you know, even if it is just for an hour in between 8 and 9, get out there, get that sun, get that vitamin D. It's going to make a
massive difference. You can actually get vitamin D prescribed by a doctor that you have once a week. It's such a good dose.
Yes,
that's what I have, and that's why I look so fabulous.
Well, there we go. You can also get it over the counter and things like that. But, you know, by and large, the vast portion of South Africans that are suffering from this pandemic can't really afford it.
Yeah.
The sun,
the government has still not figured out a way to tax us for the sun. So get out there while you can.
Correct. True.
All right, Jack, thank you. I'm going to let you go because it feels like your Wi-Fi is deteriorating. I think your neighbors might be on it.
I hope so, because we can read the title.
Okay, thank you. Jack Lotter, very, very good. Sherifftraining.co.za, some useful information there for everybody. And you can find out more by going to his website. All right, thanks, Jack. Cool.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. Cheers, cheers. Okay, George Meany, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and you, Gareth?
Good, nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Jack was using all kinds of car analogies. He compared larger people to combis and people who are fit to Ferraris and Lamborghinis. So I think it's appropriate that we bring you in with our weekly check-in with George. It's also always a good reason to smile, not only because George gives us good information and useful and interesting stuff, but also because it means it's Friday.
Yeah, I think Jack's wrong, because I've seen some really fast combis in Springs.
you can have them, George.
I don't want them. I'm just saying I've seen them.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I believe you've seen a lot of things in Springs. That's why I tend not to go to Springs that much anymore.
Neither do I.
All right. What do you got for us today?
Well, South Africa's changing their search behavior and faced with this economic challenge of lockdown. Entrepreneurial spirit is showing its face on Autotrader's website because search behavior is changing. Before lockdown, there was a general decline in the search for vans and buckies. I'm talking about delivery vans, not necessarily 4x4 double cabs, because those are very, very popular.
Yeah.
But searches for those vehicles have doubled.
Hmm. You think this is because people can order stuff online and then have it delivered? I mean, that's the obvious thing, right?
Yes. So, so food delivery, product delivery. I wouldn't be surprised. I haven't checked this out yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people are starting online businesses, and delivery services are part of that online business.
So, is it possible? Is it at all possible that also a bunch of dodgy people like pedophiles are buying extra vans?
You know, also people who are annoyed with their neighbor's kids and they need something to transport the bodies in.
Vehicle.
Yeah, I wonder if you should fill in a form, because vans can be quite suspicious, especially if they don't have anything written on them.
What will the form
say,
Garrett?
You've got to tick the box. Fruit, vegetables, children.
Well, I hope not. I think somebody needs to go visit Jack's house.
All right.
The van standing in there and check what's inside it. But the VW Caddy is currently the most searched for van on Auto Trader's website. And it's Trump's the second most searched for vehicle, which is the Toyota Avanza panel van.
Yeah, you see, if you get one of those, you can also drive right up to the entrance of whichever shop you go to. And you don't need to use a trolley, because you could basically load it straight into the van. You could even go to the delivery entrance if you have a van. There are advantages.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oi, George. George just left our discussion. I think he was
As he was agreeing.
Yeah. As he was agreeing, he decided, Jack, now George is back. Yes, hello, George. Sorry, we lost you for a second there. Back. Okay, so we were talking about vans. That's interesting. It's coming up on the search. Means people want vans for various business organizations they're trying to start, delivery businesses. So what else is going on? I went on to Auto Trader the other day to look at cars like mine, because I'm thinking of selling mine. And I'm not thinking about it. I've decided to sell mine. And prices are obviously low at the moment. It's a buyer's market, right?
It's definitely a buyer's market. I think car dealers want to move metal, and they want to get their businesses up and running. So they're going to be putting special offers and deals out in the market. So it's probably a good time to go and search and change your car right now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking, and yours is the first site I've been to. So
I was thinking of how many people must be downgrading their vehicles. And I was wondering, like, for instance, with mine, what would I downgrade to? And there would be someone who would be downgrading to mine.
Well, that's very true. So, people think, that we're definitely seeing in the search behavior that the downgrade element is there. The searches for cars under 200,000 Rand are rising. Searches for cars, I think we spoke about this last week, for 100,000 Rand and below are rising even more. Hmm. So it's definitely a thing, but you can't
Some of us, if we downgrade from what we're currently in, we might end up in a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine.
Yeah, no. I'll definitely be on a scooter from Thailand.
Or a dodgy.
I'll be in a tomato crate pushing myself down the road.
But it's almost as if one man's treasure is another man's trash in this way.
Exactly.
Speaking of trash, or maybe one of those wagons that those recyclers use.
That's going to be my car for next January. I'm telling you, I'm going to have one of those things that you pedal down the road with trash on it.
Yeah, guys, from now on, please excuse me from coming into studio if it's raining, because, the wagon doesn't
I've got the perfect vehicle for you, Sia. A wheelie bin.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
Yes, and when it's raining, you can just close the lid.
I'm inside, yeah.
But you would need to cut a window somewhere, otherwise you'll just smash into other cars.
I can just imagine Sia with his elbow out of that window cutout.
In a wheelie bin.
Do well for my ego, because at least it will be a drop top.
The problem though with a wheelie bin, because I've thought about this, we're all thinking very economically at the moment. I thought, the problem with a wheelie bin is if your balance isn't exactly right, because it's only got two wheels at the back, you will fall over backwards or forwards, and it could be very sore.
Right.
You got to get some lessons from those guys that that carry all of the cardboard and plastic on their trolley.
Yeah, that's
those
right.
guys will be able to ride.
Okay, so George. Anyway, in all seriousness, what is one of the cheapest cars that you would recommend? Because as Leanne says, people are downgrading. How low do you go before you're actually putting yourself in danger because you're driving something that is like a death trap? George.
I mean,
sorry, just start that again. You cut out for a second there. So what would you say is rock bottom?
I wouldn't say rock bottom, but one of the lowest or low priced really good cars to buy is a Toyota Yaris.
Okay.
It's really good value for money. It's got the Toyota brand on it. It's reliable. And Toyota Yaris is a good one to go for.
All right. Okay. Maybe I should start looking at those. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that, at this stage, if you are driving around in a fancy car, you're an idiot. Like, why would you do that? Okay. What else is going on?
Especially if the bank owns it, like Porsche. Yeah. Now, Porsche usually lets you visit the Porsche factory while your Porsche is being built. Mm-hmm. So they found an innovative way to let people that are buying Porsches at the moment see their car being built in real life. And they've mounted cameras, and you can see in the link I just sent you, so that you can watch your Porsche being built.
Now, I'm looking at it now. Looks pretty damn cool, actually. If only I was rich enough to afford a Porsche, then I'd be able to watch them building it. Alas.
I'm trying to understand. Is it like when these owners would watch the Porsche being built, what's the excitement there? Is it like your baby being birthed and delivered?
It's like us cutting a window out of your wheelie bin. Wouldn't you be excited?
Wheelie bin. I love this.
So like being in like a factory and then... they're nuts and bolts, and they're putting stuff together.
Leanne, I think one of the benefits of Sia's wheelie bin is that there might even be some rubbish bin juice at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. What a bonus. And some storm peas. Take your lighter with you in case you find some.
All right. Nothing like some warm rubbish bin juice.
Yeah, so there we go. From the sublime, watching your Porsche being built in the factory via video and pictures to a wheelie bin filled with juice and stompies. We really cover it all, don't we?
And then Volvo cars. Volvo is limiting the top speed of all their vehicles to 180 kilometers an hour. About a year ago, they promised to do this, and now they've actually taken a wide range of steps to limit the top speed of their cars. And you won't be able to drive a Volvo over 180 k's an hour. Only place that this is really a problem is on the Autobahn.
Mm.
Okay. All right.
And on my route to Cliff Central when I'm running late.
180 k's an hour. Well, it comes to 180 k's an hour now. And then there was a Canadian young gentleman, very young guy, who in the last week was parked outside a restaurant and decided to show off his Ford Mustang by trying to drift it in the wet, and drifted himself right into a river and a creek. Now that just goes to show that you don't give a youngster a 460 horsepower 5 liter V8 car.
Jesus, and there's a picture of it that you've just sent me of this car in the water in the river. What a douchebag!
What a pupil!
Yeah, really.
He had 3 days, 3 days, 3 day old car. So Gareth, don't go and drift your new car into any rivers.
Oh, I don't think my new car, whatever it might be, will be able to drift.
We took you.
the only reason that the car that I have in mind will drift is because it's going to be so lightweight and cheap that the wind will blow it across the highway.
If you fart, you'll change lanes.
Exactly.
We took you drifting once, and you learned some skills there.
Oh my god! All right, no, there's never a dull day. I mean, you told us just the other day about some kid who was pulled over on the highway for driving a sports car. Now we're talking about some other kid who's driven a 3-day-old car into a river.
Don't know why your parents give them these things.
Yeah, bad parents. That's the answer. All right. Anything else you want to throw in this morning? Are you going to downgrade your car, George?
No, not right now. I'm just going to sit with whatever car I am driving and wait out this lockdown until they let us out.
Well, I haven't been using mine in such a long time that it might feel like a new car when I get into it eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, I've been rude about this car that I have now. I've been rude about it for the last 3 years, so it's not going to be a very difficult parting. If anyone wants it, I'm getting rid of it. It'll take exactly 5 seconds for me to break that relationship off and make a new relationship with my Daihatsu Charade or whatever else I can get my hands on. Daewoo Matiz. My fourth hand, roofless old brown Datsun.
Your pick it up Picanto bin.
There we go. That's the one.
Is that the name of your new car?
Yes, the pick it up Picanto.
All right. Okay, everybody. Have a happy day. We will see you on Monday, bright and early. Have a good weekend. I hope you get to do something fun this weekend. And I think it may be the second last weekend before they eventually release us to level 3. Thank you to our prison guards, the South African government, for allowing us to go to level 3 and exercise in the yard for a little bit longer from the 1st of June. Isn't that exciting? Something to look forward to. Okay, have a good time. George, thank you very much as always. Siya Mbulelo, Leanne and I bid you farewell. We will see you on Monday at 6. Have an excellent weekend in the company of cliffcentral.com. Why? Because we've got such a lot of content for you. If you haven't heard any of the interviews, and this morning might have been the first time you joined us, you've been missing out, but it doesn't matter. You can catch up. Go to cliffcentral.com. Tons of stuff in any subject. You can go and type in the search. I mean, I typed in, what did I type in the other day? I was looking for a guest of ours, and I typed some search word in, and it came up with a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go in there and you'll find everything that you're looking for and more. All right. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. Cliffcentral.com.